Writers up!
This is Riders Up, the best place to get all the horse racing news and information that you need. Now here's your host, Frank Lyons.
Welcome to ESPN Radio, Riders Up, brought to you by Transformer Equine. For more information on these products, go to TransformerEquine.com. On the show today, we do have Dr. Ryan Carpenter. He's a top veterinarian in Southern California, working with the likes of Bob Baffert, among many other top barns, and also then Frank Miramati, who is the back track announcer at Aqueduct and race caller at Monmouth Park. We'll have both of those guys on the show today. But before we start, we have to start by remembering two great guys who lost their lives, and we will miss them terribly. Lenny Pike, Len, the horseman's friend, a longtime jockey's agent, for some great riders, including Robbie Alvarado. Lenny lost his life at the age of 59 last week. And also Jose Flores, very sad, just mid-50s, top jockey who leaves three children and a wife behind, and so many friends. RIP, both Lenny and Jose. So before we start the show, we're going to have to go to break here on ESPN Radio, Riders Up. So just take a break, and we'll be back.
Arthrosize is a breakthrough new joint supplement for performance horses. It features a revolutionary new hyaluronic acid. It's the smallest molecular size and weight, therefore it passes the gut wall. You'll see results in 3 to 5 days, and we guarantee it. We also have a special introductory offer. If you buy a gallon, you get a free quart. What a great way to start.
Welcome back to ESPN AM. I'm Frank Lyons. This is Riders Up. I'm right now very pleased to be joined on the phone by my old friend, Frankie Miramati. Frankie, where you been?
Have you missed me, brother? Have you missed me?
Well, I have. I haven't talked to you in weeks. It's like an old relationship. I feel like now is time to make up, you know, for the lost time that we've had on the phone.
You know, I'll tell you what, I haven't worked in weeks either, so that there's a common theme over there. But I do have two more days to call it the Big A. Next week, we'll race Friday and Saturday, no racing on Easter Sunday. So I'll be back on the 30th and 31st to close out my tenure at Aqueduct. And it has been a lot of fun and a great privilege.
So you only have two more days of calling races then?
Well, and then I get a little breather. I'll be turned out for about a month.
Sure.
And then I'll reappear on Kentucky Derby Day at Monmouth Park.
And where will you be turned out?
Rude and Riddle.
Rude and Riddle, very good. So, before we go, what do you think of the Derby picture?
I actually think this is a good crop. I think it's an exciting crop of three-year-olds. I thought the race of both Yoro, excuse me, and McKinsey was a fantastic horse race. They're both very, very top quality horses. I'm still on the Justify bandwagon, and I'm far from giving up on Good Magic. I unfortunately just didn't like the fact he was getting strangled for the entire race last time out, but that's how it is. These are prep races, and he was just, you know, kind of stretching his legs a little bit. But Good Magic's a top quality colt, and I expect him to rebound, and it's very exciting.
So, Heist was a horse that
he didn't beat the stellar group, but he's already proven himself at Churchill Downs, and he's a grand-looking individual. I would not at all be surprised to see him step up in another big performance in the Wood Memorial.
So, if I had to give you a horse now, again, I'm going to ask you the same question. If you had a horse that you could put the tack on today in the Kentucky Derby, who would you pick?
I would actually pick Justify right now. And I know that there are people that are just going to cringe with that. And a lot of the experts will be saying, oh, my goodness, you know, who did he beat last time? It's not that. When Mike Smith gets off a horse and starts thinking that it reminds him of Easy Goer, that's all I really need to hear. So it validates what I'm seeing visually. And when I was at the CTBA Awards that night, which was a Monday night, Baffert told me he's going to enter a horse on Sunday who is a monster, and he was correct. And so I think Justify, it's time for the Apollo story to go away. We haven't heard much about dosage indexes in a few years. Pretty soon we won't be hearing any more about Apollo.
Yeah. So you think Apollo's record is going to be broken soon?
It's got a chance to happen here because there are a couple of ones in there now, including the Rebel one.
Magnum Moon.
For Todd A. Pletcher. By the way, that Todd A. Pletcher horse who won the Rebel, you know who he beat in his debut? Your friend's horse. He beat Alan Goldberg, first-time starter at Gulfstream. That's who you had to run into with that buzzsaw, my friend.
Wow. I remember that Alan Goldberg firster. I can't remember what he's by, but he looked awful good.
Yeah, it was a beautiful horse, and now we know why he lost.
Yeah, he made a very nice move turning for home and looked like he was the winner. But so also then tomorrow, like later on today, I should say, we have the Dubai World Cup.
What a great race. I really would love to get there sometime. But my problem is I have a difficult time just flying coast to coast. That would that would be a tough flight for me to endure. But it's just such an amazing stage, and it's so well covered here in the United States. And we've got another great race. I have a little bit of a sentimental attachment to that big white face, and I know you like him too in this race.
Talismanic.
What a beautiful horse he is.
For people that didn't see his last race, which was on the synthetic, and he beat a horse called Cloth of Stars, that is a very good horse, was placed in the Arc de Triomphe last year. And Talismanic looked so good. He's by Medaglia d'Oro. He won the Breeders' Cup Turf last year. But he is bred to be at least as good on the main track, if not better. But I like Talismanic today in the Dubai World Cup, and I know you do too.
I really do. I certainly respect West Coast. And I love the fact that Baffert and Javier get to team up, because I know Baffert probably under his breath had a few choice words for Javier during that inquiry of with Bolt. But look, business is business, and you're supposed to represent whoever you're representing at the time. And Javier is a world-class rider, and West Coast is a top horse. But I just think that Talismanic, if he takes to the dirt, good night to everybody. He's got that beautiful tactical speed. He's a nice mover. And I'm with you, Frankie. We're putting a lot of weight on this horse, and I will not disclose my weight.
Yeah. You know what? There wouldn't be anything wrong with playing an exacta with West Coast, just in case West Coast is good enough, and probably will be. He's even money favorite for the race. Do an exacta with Talismanic in second, and bet Talismanic to win. That's the way I'd play it.
I don't blame you. And Forever Unbridled, I just hope she runs well, because she's just such a nice mare, and it would be nice to see her represent herself against the boys on this enormous stage. It's going to be a tough order for her, but look, she doesn't know what the racing form suggests. She's just going to go out there and do what she does.
Yeah, I don't think she's ever run against the boys, has she?
No, I don't think so.
She was scheduled to run in the Pegasus, but she never did. And I believe this will be her first start against the boys. Once she chose a great stage to do that. So just before we get onto the Louisiana card tomorrow, because it's a fantastic races down at the fairgrounds tomorrow. But what did you think of the disqualification of McKinsey?
Well, here's the thing. I work very closely with stewards, and I try my best to refrain from expressing my opinion in these situations.
That's
I will tell
enough.
You this. When I was watching it, first of all, I 100% agree that McKinsey was drifting out late in that race. And if that was the only incident, I would have disqualified him. But I felt in watching it, and again, it's always easier to be the Monday morning quarterback, and it's always easier to have opinions and make decisions when you don't have the pressure of doing that for your job. But in watching it live the first time, I was convinced that Javier went to the right hand, drifted in, and knocked McKinsey into the rail. In the slow-mo, it's harder to decipher, and therefore they felt it was inconclusive. But I just think that if you're on the rail and you're turning for home, you should have a little bit of a right to, like, you know, maybe drift out a couple of inches, considering you're turning a 1,000-pound body for home. And if, in fact, it could be proven that Bolt hit McKinsey the first time, I think that at that point you can't take them down. I firmly believe McKenzie was not going to let Bolt buy him late, but McKenzie did drift out, and you can't do that in a short decision because then you're playing God saying, oh, he wasn't going to catch him. I just think from watching years and years of racing, McKenzie fought him off. But that said, I would say that, you know, it's always harder to make those decisions. I'm not trying to – look, as I told you at the beginning when you started this radio show, Frank, when you do radio, you've got to kind of get out there. You can't be a yes man. You can't pat everyone on the back. You can't fluff it up.
Yeah.
But when you're a track announcer, you could do all of those things.
Gotcha. You know, I honestly, I was at Santa Anita, and I really, I never got to see the through the lane, how they were coming in or coming out or whatever. But anyway, McKenzie, does he remind you of Silver Charm with his battling qualities?
Yes. And you know what? What a perfect thing to be named after Big Brad McKenzie, who was such a sweetheart of a human being. One of the coolest guys I've ever met. One of the funniest guys. And for the boys, Watson, Whiteman, and Pegram, to name this horse McKenzie, anybody who didn't realize that for the debut should have really, you know, had to scratch their head because he paid a decent price when he debuted. He's a nice horse, and he's got that fight in him. I thought he was when, going into the far turn, I could say, oh, my goodness, Bolt is absolutely loaded. For him to fight back like that was incredible.
Yeah. And he genuinely
reminds me of Silver Charm. See, here's the thing. It was such a great horse race. Frank,
it
was such a great horse race that you hate to have the stewards have an impact on something like that. You know what I mean? But but according to the stewards' ruling, they said that they couldn't decide who was at fault. And if that's the case, they had to disqualify him. I just think that he was at fault turning for home.
I mean, another controversial decision at Santa Anita. But however, we'll, since we're not involved, we'll forget about that one. And we'll go on to the fairgrounds races today. Have you had a look at the fairgrounds?
I have. What a fantastic, amazing card. Before we do that, I want to just touch very briefly on a race at Aqueduct today and then one on Sunday as well, because in the fourth race today, the Maddie May, it's not the biggest race in the country, but this filly, Under Suspicion, was fantastic in victory last time. She's a good-looking chestnut filly for Phil Serpy. She's the second choice at 5-2 on the morning line. Linda Rice has the favorite. I think Under Suspicion could come right back and win the Maddie May, so I wanted to say that. And then tomorrow, in the seventh race, I use the Daily Racing Form Stable Mail, and I very rarely put horses in there. But I did put a horse in there that's running in Sunday's seventh race. The horse's name is Split Verdict, a second-time starter for Rick Violet. This horse was a little sluggish out of the gate, finished up very well, and is the second choice on the morning line as well. I think that's a very good play tomorrow at Aqueduct, seventh race, after all the hoopla with this great racing cards going on at the fairgrounds, Dubai, etc.
Yeah, so Phil Serpy, he wins at an incredible percentage first time out. But you think that this horse can improve again off his first start?
You're talking about in the fourth?
On the fourth. Is that Phil Serpy's horse in the fourth?
Under Suspicion, it might be, because it's Chester and Mary Broman. Let me just take a quick peek as to the trainer. And the good thing is this one's a comebacking horse. So it had debuted over at Saratoga, but came back. Let me just take a quick peek. One second here. Yes, it is Phil Serpy's filly, Friend or Foe. I know John Kimmel had a lot of these horses before, but this horse ran twice at Saratoga, was well bet both times, came back fresh. It's not that she only won by a half length, but they were never going by her, and she looked really good doing it last time out. I think she's a nice filly, and I think she's going to come back and win again.
So that's Under Suspicion in the fourth on Sunday, is it?
On Saturday, today.
On Saturday.
And then Sunday,
On
Sunday in the seventh race, Split Verdict for Rick Violet, who's very good with first-time starters. Second time out.
That's what I meant to say. Rick Violet is excellent first time out. Okay, so now down at the fairgrounds, and I'm actually going to be down at the fairgrounds tomorrow. Very first time that I'll ever be at the fairgrounds, and I'm going to be down there for the Derby. So I'm very much looking forward to that. But also on the card, there we have the other Derby, the Crescent City Derby and the Crescent City Oaks for Louisiana Breds. Then we have the New Orleans Handicap Grade 2, Mervyn Muniz Grade 2, Fairgrounds Oaks Grade 2, and Louisiana Derby Grade 2, $1 million purse in that one. But first of all, the New Orleans Handicap, how do you see this race?
I think this is a fantastic race. And in this race, the horse that I kind of like is a horse that was beaten soundly by the player last time, but a horse named Scuba. Scuba is a very, very honest 7-year-old.
Yeah.
And I just, look, he's run twice at the fairgrounds. They were decent efforts. He had some trouble last time out in the mine shaft when finishing third. And you know what, Frank, we can't even talk about the fairgrounds without acknowledging the very sad and just terrible news about Lenny Pike passing away.
I know.
I worked with Lenny, and Lenny was a very funny guy. And when I was going through some health stuff, he was reaching out to me, and it just, I could not believe. A friend of mine sent me a text. I hadn't even seen it on Twitter yet. And may Lenny rest in peace. Len, the horseman's friend. Lots of laughs. Yeah. And when I think about the fairgrounds, I worked there for a few years in marketing and then 1 year as a racing official. And in fact, I was going to touch on that when we got to the Mervyn Muniz, because the Mervyn Muniz was, of course, the explosive bit before. But that those memories of Lenny being one of the agents, and I got to meet some agents, I got to learn a lot. And if you work in the racing industry and you have an opportunity to be a racing official, even if it's for one season, do it, because you'll learn things and how races get put together. I had no idea how things work. And I still don't, but at least I learned a little bit under the great tutelage of Mervyn Muniz, one of the absolute class acts of all time, who used to give me some jabs. But in his office, you know how they say knock, then enter? In his office, the theme was enter, then start knocking, because they knocked everyone in there. And, but Lenny Pike, if it didn't mention that, I would be very, very irresponsible.
Yeah. R.I.P. Lenny. Lenny represented Robbie Alvarado.
Loved him and struggled with him, because he was a fierce. He was told me one day when he was doing some work, listen, I want a friend, get a dog. So it was tough. And he took care of it. And you know, there's a little special performance. His performance as a happy agent spoke line. Worked with Robbie Alvarado throughout his career. And recently, top notch. I'm sick that he's gone, but may he rest in peace.
Yeah, may he rest in peace is right. So that was terrible news. We got to let the show go on. The Muniz Memorial Handicap, Grade 2, 300,000, full field of 11, going a mile and eighth on the grass. And in this race, I love a horse. I love Arklo. And Javier Castellano for Brad Cox. What do you think of that?
Tell you what, he was so impressive when he won the American Turf last year. That was his turf debut. It was like a prize type move as he won. Actually, it was his second start on turf. He broke his
second
maiden,
start on
first
grass,
time on grass, and then came right back and won the Grade 2. So, you know, he's a nice horse, and he just came off a nice victory here in an allowance race. Brad Cox has a very strong hand in here. I do not disagree at all with Arklo. He was one of three that I thought merited a look at a decent price in here.
What a great race this is today. I mean, a great betting race and a fantastic field of horses. Then in the Fairgrounds Oaks today, what do you think of that race?
Well, one thing about the Fairgrounds Oaks is that I think you have to acknowledge Brett Calhoun with Classy Act. I'm not sure she's going to win, but she's just so honest, and it gives me a chance to pat this guy on the back. Year in, year out, 20% trainer minimum, and he's just consistent. And, you know, he goes to the old theory that winners win, and Classy Act, I think, will make her presence felt. I wouldn't take too short of a price, nor do I think you'll get much lower than the 5-2, but if I had to pick one, I would pick her.
She was a second last to mount to Monomi Girl, filly of Steve Asmussen's, I believe. She is a 92,000 Keeneland September yearling purchase by Into Mischief out of Acting Class, who's by Distorted Humor. That is a bargain price, and considering that she will be favored or second favorite for the Grade 2 Fairgrounds Oaks, she's Grade 2 placed already. Second last time out, and that gives Javier Castellano a chance at a huge day tomorrow or today. okay, so then we go on to the Louisiana Derby. It's $1 million. What we had the Rebel last week was 900,000, and we got the Louisiana Derby today. It is $1 million. And looking at this race, I think it's a good race, but I see it. I'd be awfully pleased to show up here for $1 million and have to run against this field.
I'll tell you one thing. I agree with what you're saying and that it doesn't look that deep. I love Noble Indian this week. The blinkers come on. He will turn the tables from the Risen Star. This is everything I believe in. When you get Hall of Fame trainers making equipment changes in big races, I actually prefer it when it's blinkers off. But this case, it's blinkers on. And that's Johnny V and Todd Pletcher getting together after the Risen Star and saying, let's get this boy a little more focused. I don't think Rabazzo will know which way he went in this rematch this time. I love the
Well, I agree with you. I 100% agree with you that I believe that Noble Indy kind of ran in spots. He looked like a horse that might need blinkers, and he was just coming off those two basically easy races down at Gulfstream where you really didn't get battle-tested. He got battle-tested in the Risen Star, got beat two lengths behind Bravazzo, who Gary Stevens rides for the coach, Wayne Lucas, today. And this is not a very deep field. I don't believe that we'll see the Kentucky Derby winner exit this field. And I believe that my boy Jack is maybe a little bit vulnerable if it is a fast track today in the Louisiana Derby. And I believe that it is going to be a fast track. He won in the mud last time out, down on the rail. He's going to be favored today. And I love Keith and I love Kent DeSormo and their Louisiana boys coming back into town, but I believe they're going to be overbet today and I wouldn't be on my boy Jack's back.
No chance would I want to be on him. Look, when you close your eyes, you ask yourself, does the Zuma Beach winner on turf come and win the Louisiana Derby? You have to say no to that. In general, and again, Keith is such a fabulous horseman and he finds these horses at bargain prices, which is what I respect so much. He's able to do this year in and year out.
Year in and year out. He's amazing.
And he's just a fabulous horse. You either have it or you don't, and he has it. He's a fantastic horseman, and I love the fact, Marty McGee did that article on the brothers a couple years back, and I just love the fact that these brothers have gone on to win big things. But I don't think this is exaggerator's type of horse, you know what I mean? My boy Jack, I think, is an overachiever, and I don't like him one bit in this race.
Well, and so what we're saying really is that Keith picked out this horse for $20,000. You got to give him all the credit in the world. He's by creative cause out of a mineshaft mare. So Keith was buying this horse with two turns in mind. He knew that he would go two turns. Done a great job of the horse. He is 5 of 8 finishing 1-2, and he's made $425,000, and he's favorite for the Louisiana Derby today. So, we'll give all the credit in the world to the job that Keith DeSormo has done, but I'm not going to back the horse today. Frankie, that's it for another week. And so what are you going to do for today?
I'm going to watch a bunch of horse races and enjoy the sport from afar. That's the one thing about me is that I got into a situation in my career where I don't have to pay admission to go to the track anymore, and I get free racing forms, and I get to do what I love, and that is a beautiful thing, which is calling these races. And I'll tell you, I'm starting to enjoy the schedule of just working a couple of days here and there.
I got to
start working a little harder and a little more consistently, and I'll be doing that starting the beginning of Monmouth Park. But this experience at Aqueduct has been fantastic, and I've gotten such good luck in the schedule that John Imbrial put together during this miserable weather. I have been able to avoid almost all of it, and some of the times I was there, I got cancellations. But this weather has been horrific for a California boy, and I've been very lucky to not have to be around it. So it's all good.
Yeah, well, we're very lucky to have you on the show, Frankie. You're a tremendous talent. And
thank you, brother.
So I will say the best of luck to you, okay? And you go and watch the Louisiana races and all the races around the country, and we'll chat to you next Saturday.
Thank you, my brother.
Thank you, my brother. All right, now, that was Frank Miramati, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, so now here on Riders Up, brought to you by Transformer Equine, we're going to go off to break, and we'll be back, okay?
After 3 years of successful trials with thoroughbred racehorses in England,
Equalize was introduced in North America December 1st through leading veterinarians and top trainers. Equalize is a daily throat wash and supplement guaranteed to produce wonderful results for problem bleeders, eaters, and breathers. Take us up on the challenge. For more information, visit equalize.net or call 1-800-615-8829.
Welcome back to ESPN Radio. This is Riders Up, brought to you by Transformer Equine. So now on the line, we have Dr. Ryan Carpenter from California. How are you, Doc?
I'm doing very well. And yourself?
I'm doing very well. So tell me this now, Doc. You were just coming in as I was leaving California. So where did you come from, or where did you get your start?
So I grew up about an hour north of here, up in Ventura County, and went to vet school up at UC Davis. And then during my vet school career, I met Dr. Greg Ferraro, who helped me find the racetrack. And sure. After I graduated in 2005, I spent a year at Santa Anita working in a practice and absolutely fell in love with racing. Went on and did a surgical residency at Colorado State and came back and have been here ever since.
So now, everyone tells me that you're the up-and-coming vet, that you're the smart guy on the backside, huh?
Well, you obviously shouldn't believe everything people tell you.
I guess that's right. So now, who is the veterinarians that you're working with?
So I work in Equine Medical Center, and there's six of us total. Dr. Vince Baker, Dr. Wade Bird, Dr. Sam
legend,
Bradley.
Legend.
And myself and Dr. Kathy Canfield and then Dr. Mark McCacken.
Very good. So you have a nice little team of veterinarians there together. Now, some of the trainers that you work with also, you're very much in the big barns on the backside.
Yeah, so we're fortunate to serve the nice horses here in Southern California. We work with Bob Baffert, Phil D'Amato, John Sadler, Simon Callahan, Doug O'Neill, Jeff Bondi, just to name a few.
Beautiful. So now, did you get to treat West Coast before he went to Dubai?
Fortunately, he didn't need any help on my end. He's a pretty solid horse, and he takes care of himself.
Yeah. So now, are you a fan, then, of horse racing, besides just loving your job? You love the horse racing itself? Because a lot of vets on the backside just kind of, they do their job, and they don't know what's going on, but you have a vested interest?
Yeah, no, I love watching these horses go out and compete and following them. And honestly, the part that I love the most is seeing when we buy all the babies this time of year as two-year-olds, seeing which one jump up to be the all-stars of our industry and watch them go on and compete at the highest level.
Yeah. So now, how about the Transformer Equine products? How much of a fan of them are you?
Several of my barns use it, and they have been very pleased with the results that they get in terms of decreased mucus production and less bleeding.
Huh. And so you find that with a lot of the barns that you're in, that they're very much Transformer Equine fans?
Yeah, I would say that there's a decent percentage, probably a third of our practice barns use the product, and the guys that use it like it and have used it for years and, you know, continue to keep their horses on it.
Sure. Now, do you see a change coming over horse racing when it comes to the use of medication?
Well, I think there's this big push in the industry to eliminate medication. And I've always basically stated, you know, anything that we can do to benefit the horse is necessary. We need to keep the horse's best interest in mind. And any changes to medication policy need to be based on science, and not
sure.
Just knee-jerk reaction to the outside pressures that we're under. So I know that there is a push to see some changes. We've made a lot of changes in just the way things are done since I first started practicing here over a decade ago. And I think we've got, you know, ways to go, but I think we're making very, very good steps forward in that, from that standpoint.
Sure. Now, and what's your opinion on the Lasix issue?
Oh, that's a very hot topic, very polarized topic. What I can tell you is that Lasix is the only approved medication that really eliminates or reduces bleeding in racehorses.
Sure.
So I would hate to see a Lasix be eliminated, because there is definitely a set of horses that can compete at the highest level because that they get that medication prior to a race. Right. Eliminating it would be based on outside pressure and not what was in the best interest of the horse.
Sure, sure. And it's been, you know, it's been in racing so long, it'll be very hard to just to say that, okay, we're going to go without Lasix from now on. But I do think that the idea of having the grade one races for two-year-olds, I mean, you can see kind of the side where, you know, you can see that not using Lasix may be beneficial to the breeding industry in the long run. But I don't think that taking Lasix away from racing will do will prove to be the best thing that you know, that we could do.
Yeah, I definitely can. I can definitely sympathize with that point.
Yeah. And so, so what's your what are you doing today then?
I just finished up my morning work. Thankfully, it was a quiet morning with the rains we've had in California the last week. Then I also do surgery, so my afternoon will be in the operating room doing surgery on a couple of cases.
And so how many surgeries would you perform?
Today I got two to do.
Two to do. And how long will those surgeries take?
Start to finish will probably take about an hour and a half to 2 hours. Just because, as you can imagine, it's quite an ordeal to anesthetize a horse and put them on the table and then recover them safely. But the surgery itself, these are pretty routine arthroscopies, so the surgery time itself will probably only be about 20 to 30 minutes. But there's a lot of prep to do prior to actually starting surgery, and then the recovery process takes a little while as well.
And is this your favorite part of veterinary medicine?
This is. There's nothing gives me greater fulfillment and joy than seeing a horse that is injured, fixing them in the surgery room, and then coming back and winning at the highest level and seeing, you know, their owners happy and just getting them back to their form. That gives me a lot of satisfaction in what I do.
Yeah. So you sound like that you love what you're doing, but you say you can't think of anything that satisfies you more. But Charlie told me that you have a beautiful family, and I'm sure that satisfies you just as much.
Oh, yeah, they're great. I'm very blessed to have a wife and two little girls waiting for me every time I get home. So I am blessed beyond belief.
Beautiful. Well, Dr. Ryan Carpenter, I wish you the best of luck, okay? And it was very nice talking to you. And we will talk to you again soon, okay?
Great. Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you. Dr. Ryan Carpenter, everybody. So that's it for another week here on ESPN Radio.
Arthrosize is a breakthrough new joint supplement for performance horses. It features a revolutionary new hyaluronic acid. It's the smallest molecular size and weight, therefore it passes the gut wall. You'll see results in 3 to 5 days, and we guarantee it. We also have a special introductory offer. If you buy a gallon, you get a free quart. What a great way to start.